from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all of my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these, is love. Friends, the word of the Lord. It's 1914, and an electrical light has not yet come to the city of Ripley. It's 9 p.m. in the evening, and the young practitioner of the law has an oil lamp to produce just enough light so that he can work well into the evening. This is long before his time as one of the most eloquent and efficient practitioners of the law that our state has ever seen. Prior to his serving in the Mississippi House of Representatives and the state Senate, before his colleagues would pursue him to run for the governor of our great, prior to his defending successfully a case before the Supreme Court of the United States, this is where the work of Fred Smith began. Lightless, in dark, an oil lamp working to serve his people. It's been said of Mr. Smith that he was one of the most eloquent speakers and defenders of his point of view that has ever graced a courtroom. Such could also be said of the writer of our text today, the words of Paul, who many embody and embrace this passage of Scripture as simply this, the love chapter. We've heard it at weddings. We've celebrated it as the definition and description of our faith, the essence of what it means to be Christian people. A summation in many ways of how we should act and treat one another and replicate the ministry of Jesus Christ to a world in need. You know, I'm intrigued as the text begins here this morning that Paul would say to us very early in verse 1, he says, if I speak like Fred Smith and even in a greater capacity than Mr. Gentleman Fred, if I could embody such grace that people would say that my tongue is more eloquent even than the angels, if I could do that but do not love, well, then I'm nothing more than a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. Imagine that, would you? As beautifully as we received the music, the instruments this morning, they had well orchestrated timing, didn't they? But what if they'd all been off key and one a lot louder than the other or coming in at the wrong time? It would have been a disaster. We would have ran them out of this church, right? Well, we might not have ran them out, but we wouldn't have let them eat the chitlins we're going to have a little bit for lunch, right? They'd have had to skip that meal, that's for sure. No, that clanging sound of the instruments, they don't draw us to the ones making the music. They turn us away. Imagine, if you would, as we represent the faith, that that's our calling. No matter how eloquent the words are of the preacher or how well we can defend Holy Scripture, if we don't practice what we preach as people of the faith, as the church, then we don't draw people more closely who want to hear us. No, we turn them away. It's a noisy gong. It's a clanging cymbal to the listener in need. It's all about love. Paul says. He continues in verse 2 by saying, if I had prophetic powers, if I knew great mysteries, if I had abundant faith, isn't that something we all cherish? To have the great faith of the matriarchs and patriarchs of our faith. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, a grandparent, who showed us and demonstrated to us the essence of faith, of trusting in God. But Paul said, even if we obtain that high calling, that essential ingredient of our spiritual growth, that if we don't practice love, then Paul says, we're nothing. No matter how much the church may lift us up, no matter how powerful we become as leaders in the religion, if we don't have love in the eyes of Almighty God, then, friends, we've missed it all and we are nothing. And finally, Paul gives one more illustration here where he said, if I hand over my body that I may boast. Isn't that the high calling of faith? We practiced it this morning in our offering when I appealed to you to give of our sensibility offering. We understand that part of being the church is giving to the poor for sustaining those who can't sustain themselves, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. But Paul says here, if we don't give out of love, then we give in vain. In other words, it's fruitless. You know, he really challenges me here. When we give a gift, he says, when we give a gift, even if it involves giving away all of our possessions, and we boast about it and don't do it in love, we gain nothing. You know what I think of? It's a challenge to me. You know, if we have fellowship meals, if we gift the church with a meal, and there are ulterior motives in that, if it's just to get someone to like us, or if we gift a family member with something just to get them to behave the way we want them to, then that's not love. A gift is a gift, given with no expectations, Paul says, that we cannot boast. It's not a contract. If we give only to receive, then friends, that's nothing but a contract, right? No, the high calling of giving must be rooted with one motive only if it is to be a gift, and that is love. So, preacher, what is love? Wow. Paul leaves little doubt in our mind today. As he describes in one of the most eloquent ways that you can imagine, these words, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It is not resentful. It doesn't insist on its own way, but it insists on the truth. Love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Those are the descriptions of love that Paul shares with us. So friends, let's break it down to the real world, to to the everyday decisions that we have to make in our business, in our home, in the classroom, representing our ball team as the coach, as the player. How do we embody and practice love in all that we do? What about when we have decisions to make of who will lead our nation or who we'll trust with our finances? Can we really practice this call of love that Paul says that when we're choosing a leader for our nation or who to trust with our money or who to follow, can that person be patient, kind, not envious, boastful, or arrogant? Can they not be rude, irritable, or resentful? Can we really, in the real world, trust someone like that as someone we want to follow? Will we really succeed? Friends, that's the challenges of faith. Can we behave, in other words, as a Christian and succeed in a hard, unchristian world? I'm naive enough to believe that we can. I'm just silly enough to believe that the foolishness of the cross, as Paul would say it, is the only hope we have to save the world. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Hillary Clinton. It's trusting prayerfully as a nation in Almighty God to do what we can't do, to strive in every way that we can to embody love in every decision we make, every action that we take on, to look like Jesus. You see, can it be done? Fred Smith, Mr. Fred Smith, that I began our sermon with, was one of the most eloquent speakers that our world and courtrooms have ever known. But you know what else about him? He was one of the greatest gentlemen our world has ever known. As he mentored Bobby Elliott as a young law clerk and co-worker, it was his patience, his grace, his politeness and concern for others that he used to impact his community and state for good. Friends, it's not always easiest to be Christian. It's not always easy not to be rude or resentful or arrogant or insist on our way, but it is the way of Christ. And we will prevail, because in the end, Paul says this: faith, hope, and love will last forever. Thanks be to God and His love for us all. Amen.